Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, yep, them darn mustard seeds. Yep, them. They're small. You know, today we got that parable of the mustard seed. So we've got a sermon on something the size of a pencil point. You gotta be kidding, right? Well, I like puns. You know that. And I like riddles, too. I got a riddle to share with you. It's a little story. The youth director told his head pastor a riddle. And then he left town on a week-long camping trip without telling the pastor the answer. He told me the riddle, and then he said, oh, yeah, only 17% of the Stanford graduates figured out this riddle. But 80% of kindergartners knew the answers. Then he left. Oh, the pastor could have strangled him. But here's the riddle. Okay, now listen. What is stronger than God, more evil than the devil? Poor people have it. Rich people don't need it. And if you eat it, you'll die. I'll say it one more time. What is stronger than God, more evil than the devil? Poor people have it, rich people don't need it, and if you'll eat it, you'll die. Who said nothing? That's the answer. Nothing. Isn't that pretty interesting? Yeah, I didn't get it either until I had read the answer. Yeah, yeah. Well, if you eat nothing, you'll die. It's one of the, oh yeah, oh, I get it now. Okay. Folks, what do parables mean? You know, here we go. You know, I have a big thing for words. You know what parable actually translates as? Riddle. So why would Jesus tell riddles? You know how many parables are in the Bible? 40. You know how many that, who's, I'm impressed.
I guess because of the movie.
It is. She went through our class on numbers, but it works, doesn't it? Well, you know how many parables Jesus explained to the disciples? One. This one. That's it. The rest of them, he said, well, you got to figure it out on your own. And you know, Jesus had the audacity to take those answers to heaven with him. So here we are, 2,000 years later, still trying to figure out the answers to the riddles. You know, we're still trying to figure out the wedding feast, the dishonest steward, the good Samaritan, and the mustard seed. I want to read you. This is a theologian I read a lot of. I like his writings. Helmut Finkel. Good German name. But listen to this. We cannot comprehend the parables of Jesus until we see ourselves in the story. Like a small child recognizing herself in the mirror for the very first time, when we see ourselves represented in the story, then we finally get it. Makes sense, doesn't it? That's how the parables can speak differently to different people. As I told you, as I was reading the Church Fathers, I found 8 different interpretations of this. Well, geez, as this scripture comes up every 3 years, I'm set for the next 24 years for sermon ideas. You know, so it's one of those things, you know, it's just hard. So what do? As we look at this, we see ourselves as the snotty younger son who ran away with his father's fortune. Prodigal son. We're the Levite who passed by the beaten man on the road to Jericho. Good Samaritan. You might even be the wise man who built his house on the rock. And I might be the fool who built mine on the sand. But the thing is, once we see ourselves in the story, then the story makes sense to us, doesn't it? That's what I think we get our understanding is because we can put ourselves into it. Well, our second parable today of the two that I read in the Gospels, the one we're focusing on, You know, a lot of Jesus' parables have to do with the land and sowing stuff and reaping and things like that. Why? Because people were farmers. They relate to it. Okay? Do they still relate to us today? Well, even if we don't have farm backgrounds, we have relatives that did. We're not that far away from it. So, yeah, I think it does. Well, what is our riddle then? Because remember, parable means riddle. What is the smallest thing that when it matures, it grows up and becomes the biggest of all shrubs? It puts forth large branches and the birds can nest in its shade. Now, that's what the scripture says. That's it. That's what the kingdom of God is like. A mustard seed? I don't get it. Well, how many times in here have I preached on the Bible being both figurative and literal? Well, if you've got a literal mind, you have trouble with this because you got to make that comparison. That seed is just a little more than a speck of dust. So, was Jesus stupid or was his scripture lying to us? Well, no. Okay, so what was it? And I think this is what Jesus was saying. The point of the parable is not that the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, but the point is it's something small that can grow into something great. Now, to me, that's what this parable means. Was Jesus telling us a story that a small baby born into humble surroundings in a stable can grow up and become a savior? And people would find comfort and security in him. Could Jesus be saying that that Christian church that started with him and a few shepherds grow into something today that's got 2 billion members who found their hope in him? Could this parable mean that if we only have the faith of a size of a mustard seed, which was another teaching of Jesus, our faith will mature and it'll grow, and it'll be enough to bring us eternal life? Well, the meaning of the parables can be used for anything, can't they? They can have more than one explanation. And all those scenarios, those 8 I told you, may have been part of Jesus' thinking when he sat down and told his hearers that the kingdom of God was like that mustard seed. We don't know. Jesus didn't tell us. We are at last left to figure things out for ourselves. Well, maybe there is a wrong answer. Nope, not a 9 yet. There's no wrong answer. Folks, whatever it speaks to you is the right answer, isn't it? You know, when we have those parables, which is a riddle, the thing is, you can have more than one answer to the riddle. Well, that makes it a little tough to figure out the riddle, doesn't it? Well, I think so. Well, my dear Christian brothers and sisters, I want to point out one other solution to this parable that I think is good for today's Father's Day. And this is what I stole from the other pastor. Could it be that that mustard seed is the child in our midst? You know, Jesus loved little children, okay? And he had to berate the apostles when they said, well, keep the children from you. No, let the little children come to me, for such as these is the kingdom of heaven. We cannot approach heaven unless we do it as a little child. You know, how many times have you had children be really honest? You know, whatever goes through their mind, they say. There's no filter. But isn't that why they're our greatest resource and our greatest responsibility? Mustard seed is our children, and I think it's our purpose to nurture them and help them to grow and mature. We want to guide them, help them to grow up until they become the biggest of all shrubs. We dads start out with a lot of good intentions, don't we? But then stuff happens. As fathers, we have to work long hours to provide for our families so we don't have time to play catch. Have you listened to Harry Chapin's Cats in the Cradle lately? Okay. And isn't that sad? Folks, that's the reason why I ended up in divorce. It's because I worked 80 hours a week. You know, I forgot. Family is just as important as the job. Remember that sermon I did, I am third? God is first, my family second, I am third? It's when that gets skewed around, you got problems. We don't like our kids' music, so we buy them an iPod so they can turn it on and listen to it and don't bother us. We spend hours taking care of the lawn and the flowers, and we plant that new river birch tree in the backyard, okay? But we ignore the shrub that God has given us to grow in our own homes, and we ignore it. I got a good one for you. Remember the great hitter from the Minnesota Twins in the 60s, Harmon Killebrew? Okay, great hitter. Well, he tells a story. He and his brother were playing football with their dad in the backyard. And mom yells out, "Don't hurt the grass." And the father looked at him, "Hey, we're not growing grass, we're growing boys." How many times were you told not to play in the grass because you might screw it up? I was. You know, what was more important, keeping the grass green or playing with your sons? Your sons. I think Jesus told that parable of the mustard seed as that reminder to fathers that these are the things that I also be true for dads. The best way to love our children is to teach them to love and respect their mothers. Bob's phone goes off here. Yeah, I wanted to make sure it was in the service. Okay. That the best gift we can give our children is a sense of safety and security as they grow up. I think dads, all dads, need to defend and protect their children. I believe that it's more important to give them our time, not our money. It's so easy to throw money at something, isn't it? It's harder to put time in. It's more important to be respected by your children than liked by your children. How many times have you seen a parent that wants to be a friend? Ron Tesmer told me this story about this mother took a six-year-old to the museum. And the kid went up and climbed on one of the statues, you know, ancient statue, knocked it over because the mom was sitting there on the phone, destroyed, shattered the statue. And she said, "Well, I'll pay for it." How much was it? $132,000. Why would you take a kid to a museum like that and not watch your kid? You know, but how many parents have you seen that in these days? Yeah, a lot. If that would have happened to me, I would have had the Board of Education apply to the seat of knowledge. But I believe our responsibility reaches beyond just our own children. Because don't you think Jesus expects us to take care of all children? Yeah, I think so. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who said, "The true test of a society is how it cares for its children." How many of you know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer is? Really? Ausgezeichnet. Let me tell you a little story about Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer was a German pastor before World War II. He had a seminary he taught at. Nazis closed it down, so he moved his seminary to the United States and was training pastors. Well, unless you signed a loyalty oath to the Nazi party, you could not be a pastor or a priest or anything else. That's why you see all the pastors giving the Nazi salute. Bonhoeffer wouldn't do it. So, he took that seminary and went back to Germany and had a seminary secretly training pastors for the German people. Well, he was arrested by the Nazi government. And he was put into a concentration camp. And he was told to recant. Well, he wouldn't recant. You know, here I believe, here I stand, I can do no other. Day before the war ended, they hung him. Did he stand on what he believed as his service to Christ? He has got a tremendous amount of works that he has written that are great, because, you know, a lot of theologians, well, you know, we interpret scripture. He interprets what the scripture means for us. And so when we look at this, isn't this the fourth commandment? Honor your father and mother so it might be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Right? Okay. But what does he say? The true test of a society is how it cares for its children. So when we say that we have to honor our mother and father, where does it start? With the mother and father honoring the children. Because if you give honor, you get honor back. If you give love, you get love back. If you give time, you get time back, don't you? You know, if we take this and extend it out, we can't just be proud that our children have a great education if the other children don't have a great education. How many times in a retiree community say, I paid for my kids, I don't want to have my taxes go to education. Yeah, I know it's expensive. And here's one of the things, you know, I was in education for 33 years. One of the things that really is bad in education are all the federal mandates. Used to be when I started teaching, you could do all the paperwork in one class period. Now it takes 2 weeks to get all the federal forms filled out. They give you money, but then you have to start all these programs that you gotta pay for, and you still can't afford to pay for the stuff that you gotta do. You know, education is one of those things. It needs drastic overhaul. But yet, that's the education of our future, isn't it? You know, it's one of those things. Folks, if we don't do that, what's going to happen in 10 or 15 years down the line? You know, what happens when we build, or excuse me, when we feed our children nutritious meals, but yet the kids down the street go hungry? And it's happening. You know how many homeless kids are in Florida? I just found this out. 4,400. Isn't that sad? Well, it sounds like I'm preaching, doesn't it? Well, I guess I am. I'm preaching that I know that God gave me a son, and God gave Peggy two kids, a son and a daughter. And we raised them. We made good choices and made bad choices. You know, we were standard parents. You know, I could have done better, Peggy could have done better, but our little seeds grew up to be pretty good shrubs. And so, my sermon isn't so much, I think, of a parenting report card. It's a reminder for us that parenting is never really done. Our children are not just the ones who eat up our food and use all our hot water, especially when you're trying to get ready and all you have left is cold water. I mean, those are all the things that happen in a family, right? Okay. God calls for us to care for all children everywhere. And when they flourish and when they grow, we know that we help nurture them on that way. So today's mustard seeds are going to become the leaders of this world. If we don't help them to nurture, if we don't help them to grow, where's our world going to be? You know, we sort of backed away from that in our colleges. And our colleges are bastions of liberalism now. And I don't know if you heard the thing that said that if they ask, you know, what do you think of socialism? Oh, we need to have a socialistic government. That's what the United States needs. You know, it's not often I talk politics from the pulpit, but I think this is one time today. All right, so what's socialism? Blank face. They're parroting what they've been told, not understanding something. So when we educate, isn't it important that we educate? Isn't it important that we take care of the kids? Isn't it important that we teach them to love their parents? As I said, you know, fathers, one of the best things you can do is teach your child to love and honor your mother. You know, folks, it's a responsibility. And the thing is, if we can help in any way, don't you want to? I think that's both Mother's Day and Father's Day. Because when we honor them, if they did their job right, didn't they honor us first? I think so. If we do this, don't you think everyone will have a happy Father's Day? I do. And may the peace which passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.